Today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
I mean, the kind of human governments that have run people's lives for the last 6,000 years all over the world have been, by and large, horrific compared to America. You know, and yet, we find ourselves whining and complaining and defying our own government, any kind of governing authority. It's like, I don't want to do this. I don't think this is right. It's really sad.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
See, human government is established by God because all people are sinners. If you don't have human government, what do you have? Anarchy. Now, here's what we know. When you give people power, you know the saying, power corrupts, right? Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Has that been the case throughout history? Yes. You give anybody power. I don't care if they're the president of the PTA. You give them power, and all of a sudden, it's like, who are these people? Because that's our sinful nature. But without human government, you have anarchy. Complete anarchy. God said, that's why I established human government. He'll go on. So he says, the government is by divine decree, is what he says. He said, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. And he said, they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. To oppose human authority is to oppose God. That's what God said. You oppose human authority, you oppose me. I've established this. I'm sovereign over this. You see, now, if they're telling you, kill your babies, don't preach the gospel, oppose it. You see, there are things worth standing for. But, he said, when you just oppose it for the fact of, well, I think this is what I want to do, he said, you're opposing me. That's what he says right there. Government is by divine decree. To resist the government is to oppose God. And he says in verse 2, to resist government is to invite punishment. He says, those who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. You'll reap what you sow. That sounds like this is really important to God. And Paul was writing to Romans who are under Nero. See, what we'd want to say is start a revolution. Just throw this bum out. You see, I mean, that's what we would think. But their whole view is God says, no, there's more to this than what meets your eye. You have to understand, when I say I'm sovereign over everything, you know what that means? Everything. You see, I know the end from the beginning. I got this. He says then in verse 3, he said, for wars are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Now, by and large, is that true? Yes. Is it always true? No. No. No, but that's what human government does. What does human government do? It controls the population. That's what it kind of does versus the anarchy. And so human government in one way just controls us or another. A lot of human governments have been tyrannical. By the way, understand, who's writing this? Paul. So let me ask you, has he been treated fairly by all the human governments? Never. Never. I mean, they beat him, they stone him, they leave him for dead. And he's saying, no, you have to do this. And in fact, when you read the book of Acts, whether he's in front of Felix or Festus or anyone like that, did you ever notice something about Paul? His respect. He respects every one of them. These pagan governors. He respects them. And they've given him nothing but trouble. He said, it's okay. My master told me to respect them. I listened to him. So he says, do you want, he says, to have no fear of authority? He said, do what is good and you will have praise from the same. Wow. By and large, he said, good behavior works out better than bad behavior. If you're in the interstate and you consistently drive somewhere between 65 and 72, how many tickets are you going to get? Now, like say you like to drive 110. Is it likely you might get a few and then lose your license? But you could say, but that's what I want to do. My car's safe at 110. I don't care. I'm going to do it. You can't make me. You can't make me stop at a stop sign. You can't make me. Well, they can. They can make it unpleasant for you. You see what I mean? You can't just say, no, I want to assert my rights here. This is what I want to do. He said, no, human government said no. Now, by the way, if you understand this about history at all, thank God you live in America. I mean, the kind of human governments that have run people's lives for the last 6,000 years all over the world have been, by and large, horrific compared to America. You know, and yet we find ourselves whining and complaining and defying our own government, any kind of governing authority. It's like, I don't want to do this. I don't think this is right. It's really sad. Generally speaking, he says, government is actually can promote good. He said, for it is a minister of God to you for good. What he means by that, it's not every government's good, but government is good for you. That's what he's saying. Government is good for you. When God has an institution, he says that institution is good for you. Having a government around us is good for us. Anything God installs like that is good for us. And the reason for that is, take God's institution of marriage. Is it good for us? Well, let's not have it. Let's just live for whoever we want to, have sex with anyone we want to, whenever we want to, because we want to. Would that be good for us? Well, not according to all the sexually transmitted diseases you can get, all the heartache you can bring in your life. You see, God says, I didn't give you marriage to punish you. I gave it to you for your good. Government's the same way. It's for your good. It's better for you. He said, but if you do what is evil, you better be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. It'll punish you. That's the way this works. It is a minister of God. Now understand, it's a minister of God. Nero's government is a minister of God. Now, does it minister godly principles? No. But it is human government. It's an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. It's always been the case. That's the way this works. You know what Christians did? They listened to this. Roman emperors told Christians that if they didn't disavow Christ, they'd take him in the Colosseum and feed him to wild animals. And you know what Christians did? Go ahead. That's fine with me. The Romans could not get over this. These people would quietly and submissively walk into the Colosseum and be eaten alive. Why? Master said to them. Oh, by the way, what was the outcome? They won the Roman Empire for Jesus Christ. The Romans couldn't get over it. The Romans had baby girls, they'd leave them on the city dump. They'd leave them on the city dump to die. Guess who lived by the city dump? Christians. You know what they did? They took the babies in and raised them as their own. Romans are like, who would do this? What's wrong with these people? See, that's the nature of this. Bigger fish to fry. Much more important. The early Christians' community, obedience to these verses, changed the world. They changed the world. You know, and it's interesting, you might say, well, that's all back then, that not apply today at all. You've heard me say this before, but probably the largest, healthiest church in the whole world is in China, in a communist country. They don't have any buildings, they don't have church services, they don't do all that. But depending on who you read, there's somewhere between 100 and 150 million born-again Chinese. You know what the Chinese government has now said about them? Boy, they're good people. They work hard. They stay at the work. They're good for the morale of the nation. Now, they're vehemently opposed to them on one level, but on the other level, they still struggle with this. How can these people be so good? We're teaching secularism completely here as dogma, and these are believers in Jesus Christ, and they're winning their country. And they submit to their government. Well, not us. We're not submitting. We're Americans. You see, our government is so much worse than theirs. Well, it's not. We know that. Maybe the problem's not the government's, and maybe the problem's with us and what we want to do. He says something else. He says in verse 5, therefore it is necessary to be in subjection, back to the same idea, not only because of wrath, not only because government will punish you, but also for conscience sake. Not just because of outward conformity, but for inward conviction. What do I mean? It's the right thing to do. How do you know it's the right thing to do? My master told me. You see, if God tells me, the Lord tells me this, it's the right thing to do. Not just because I outwardly conform, but I'll inwardly obey. That's what he is saying. I'll inwardly obey. Paul said, this is good for you. In fact, if you have a non-conforming, I know my rights attitude, let me say something to you. It will hurt your spiritual growth. It'll have an effect on you just like any other sin does. It'll hurt the way you spiritually grow. Then he says in verse 6, he goes right back to where Jesus was. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God. He said they were ministers of God. Now they said they're servants of God. This is Nero. This is as far from God as you can get. Yeah, but this is the government. He says they are servants of God. Wow. Devoting themselves to this very thing. Taxes. Phoros, again, same word. If you were a Jewish believer, you just hated the tax system. The Jews levied 6 different taxes on their own people, 24% a year. So a Jew was taxed by Judaism, 24% of your income went to Israel. Then Rome came in, and they taxed everything. And they had tax gatherers who would extort even more. So you had to pay 24% of your income to Judaism, and then you had to pay all the Roman taxes. And that's how the Roman Empire worked. It worked on the basis of all the taxes that it raised and the lands that it had conquered. So you can imagine a lot of Jews are saying, I'm getting sick of this. I don't like this at all. But notice he says exactly what Jesus, render to all what is due them. Pay your taxes. Well, I think they're unfair. And because I think they're unfair, there's no way in the world I'm paying. I see every right to cheat on my income taxes because we all do, don't we? Everybody cheats. Not a slave of the master who said, don't cheat. They don't cheat. Not because the government makes it so they don't cheat. And by the way, they do almost make it so it's hard to cheat, because if they catch you cheating, they will penalize you. But that's not what should motivate me. What motivates me is, what does my master say? I'm the slave of Jesus Christ. He said, don't cheat. You see, don't worry about that. I'll take care of you. You see, that's the way this works. With all these taxes. I love that. He says, render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. And honor to whom honor. Boy, there's a general responsibilities. God says, look, I take care of governments. I want you to think of just about it historically. Nebuchadnezzar was an egomaniac. Do you know any egomaniacs in government? You know, government has a way of attracting a lot of egomaniacs, especially if you're emperor of the Roman Empire or the Babylonian Empire. Now, what did God do with Nebuchadnezzar? He turned him into a cow. He's a pagan. He turned him into a cow. All he did was graze on grass. Why did he do that? I just want to remind you, I'm in charge, not you. You can call yourself a god and make a statue, and you can tell your people you're a god, but I'm sovereign. What about Nineveh, one of the most cruel ancient cities in the world? God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh. There's an outcry coming from that city. I want to fix that. God says, I got it. And so, and where are these people? Even in the modern era, where's Hitler? Where's Nazi Germany? Where's Stalin? You see, where are these people? God says, I have it. I take care of it. Let that in my hands. He's a just God. You see, that's the expectation, but that doesn't change your responsibility to this principle that God lays down. That's what he says. Taxes to whom taxes, customs to whom custom. That word is telos, and that means to things like sales tax is a custom. Pay your sales tax. Then he says, fear to whom fear. Now, what he means there, that fear, that word for fear, phobos, means, in this case, sincere respect. I'll show you respect. So if you get pulled over by a police officer, show him respect. He's part of the government. Just as I said, Paul stood before Felix and Festus and showed him respect. Not because they deserve respect, but because his master told him respect them. He said, okay, I will. This is hard for a lot of us. We don't want to show them respect unless they agree with us. And then the last one, honor to whom honor, timē. You have to honor them. That happens over and over in Scripture. You see this happening in more than one single occasion. It's the way this whole thing works. Go with me for a moment, as we close, to 1 Peter, just for a moment, chapter 2, verse 13. Peter writing now. Submit yourselves. Now, what's the next word say? For the Lord's sake. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. What's Peter saying? He's saying exactly what Paul said. It's the same thing. How many governing authorities should I submit myself to? Every single one of them. Wow. He said, for such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. People ask me this all the time. Can you tell me what the will of God is? I'd like to know what the will of God is. I want to know the will of God for my life. Please let me know, what does the will of God for me mean? And I don't know that. But I know certain things in the Bible say they're God's will. There's only a few. This is one of them. I mean, I want you to think of that. This is what Peter wrote. Peter said, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, for such is the will of God. How much clearer could that be? The master said it. He said, now you do it. Why? You're a doulos, or you should be. And the difference that it makes. This is written in the second century by an atheistic Roman in power. He wrote this, "Christians are distinguished from other men, neither by country nor language, nor the customs which they observe." He says, "For they neither inhabited cities of their own, nor employ a peculiar form of speech, nor lead a life which is marked out by singularity. The course of conduct which they follow has not been devised by any speculation or deliberation of inquisitive men, nor do they, like some, proclaim themselves to be advocates of some human doctrine." He goes on and says, "They are in the flesh, but they don't live after the flesh. They pass their days on earth, but they call themselves citizens of heaven. They obey the prescribed laws, and at the same time surpass the laws by their lives. They love all men, and they're persecuted by all. They are unknown and condemned, and they are put to death, and they say, but restored to life. They are poor, yet make many rich. They are in lack of all things, and yet they abound in everything. They are dishonored, and yet in their very dishonor," he says, "they bless others. They are evil spoken of, and yet they are justified. They are reviled by people, and yet they bless people. They are insulted, and they repay the insult with honor. They do good, yet they are punished as evildoers. And when punished, they rejoice as if quickened into life. They are assailed by the Jews as foreigners, and they are persecuted by the Greeks. Yet those who hate them are unable to assign any reason why they hate them." And the reason is they are slaves of Jesus Christ. Those people changed the world, partly because of their attitude toward human government. They saw themselves as slaves of their master. They submitted to government, and they were brutally treated. Does that even sound like any of us today at all? Does that sound like us at all? For many of us, our mantra is this: my rights. My rights. No one will tell me what to do. But your master already has. Let's pray. Father, we live in these turbulent times, but it's more than just that. I think as believers, we often just don't see ourselves this way. We have such great freedoms in this country. Because it's a democracy, we can even raise our voice. And if we don't like what's happening, Father, we can even have a legal protest, and that's good things. But Father, we're not here for the sake of this nation. We're here for the sake of our Master. We are blessed, and we thank you for that. But Father, what we are here is to be salt and light in this world. Father, I pray for those who hear me this morning that they don't keep asserting their own rights. And we end up alienating the very culture that we're trying to see as our mission field. Father, may we have a singularity of purpose to do your will. In this case and in every case, so that you will be glorified. Because when that happens in your glory, we know it is for our good. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, that is, as a sermon that Pastor Bill delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gebhardt, I'm Jason Gebhardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.